two, three, four, five, six, seven. We do have a quorum. I know Commissioner Stevenson is going to be joining us. He's wrapping up one other thing and he'll be joining in a moment. And Commissioner Scott is not able to join. And Commissioner Newton in Morgan County is going to try to join, but is perhaps not able to. But we do have a quorum now with one more anticipated to join. So it's up to you about getting started.
Okay. Well, to Jeff's point and Andrew's point about quick and succinct meetings, we'll go ahead and get started. I think we've all done introductions and had a welcome. First up, we have an action item, approval of the minutes for March 17th, 2022, and acceptance of financial statements, check registers for February and March 2022, and budget expenditure report to date.
Mr. Budget Chair, Jeff Silverstein and I make a motion to approve those matters.
Thank you very much. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, thanks, Scott. Any questions or considerations?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to just read our names for the record.
Okay.
On the recording.
Let's get the vote on the action item first, and then we'll go back to that.
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay. We have a first and a second. Hearing no other additional comments, I would ask for a vote.
Aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, that passes. Thank you very much. So
who voted on that?
What's that?
I said, who voted on that? Andrea is going to let us know.
Mm-hmm. Jeez. Okay. Here's the attendees for the budget committee meeting on May 12th. Marion Florence, Andrea Pearson, Kevin Wells, Lovett Baumgartner, Andrew Gruber, Wayne Bennion, Jeff Silvestrini, Mike Caldwell, Ned Hacker, Scott Wardle, Amy Winder Newton. Thank you.
And Mr. Chair, can I actually just jump in for a moment in terms of introductions? You as the budget committee know that over the last year, we have been going through a cycle of our process with our CFOs, which started with Lovett announcing her retirement. And then we hired Kurt Maurer. You all remember that, Kurt was not able to make the move from the Uinta Basin to the Wasatch Front. We're very fortunate to have already hired Marion Florence, who's our CFO, now our current CFO. And I just want to say she's doing a really great job. I have a lot of confidence in her, respect for her knowledge and for her approach and her integrity. And so I think we're in really great shape. And Lovett has been kind enough to continue to stay involved just for historical knowledge and consultation. Lovett, thank you again. But we do have one more introduction to do, and that is of Kevin Wells. Kevin, we just recently hired in the position that we actually originally hired Marion to be in, which is the accounting specialist. So we are now in place to have our full accounting, budget, finance team. And I'm thrilled about that. I think all of us are thrilled about that. Marion, do you want to say anything? And Kevin, maybe we can put you on the spot to just say hello for a moment, introduce yourself.
Sure. I am so grateful to have Kevin here. Kevin and I have worked together for 10 years in the charter school finance world. So we've been in lots of financial trainings together. We speak the same accounting language. We use the same accounting software. So this transition has been relatively seamless. This particular piece of the transition that has been, as you know, over the last year. And so I'm really optimistic about our future working here and also being in place with this team. We've met with all of the area coordinators already and are working to be really part of the fabric of the organization in a way that I think will support them and also make things just work effectively. So I'm really excited about that. Kevin, you want to say hi?
Sure. Hi, everybody. I'm very happy to be here. It's been all of
a week and a half right now, but I am super impressed with this team. Everybody seems to be very collaborative, and their knowledge, they're so well-versed in their programs and understanding their financials, which is so refreshing coming from the charter school world, where we often worked with teams that were not as aware of all of the underworkings and everything. So I'm very excited to be here. I'm looking forward to learning more so I can be more helpful and more productive. And just thank you for this opportunity.
Great. Thanks, Kevin. Well, Mayor Caldwell, thanks for letting us make sure that you all as a budget committee are aware of who the team is here.
Welcome, Kevin. You've got a good team down there. So that will take us to number three, public comment. Is there any public comment?
I would like to make a comment that Commissioner Stevenson has joined us at this point. Mm-hmm. Welcome, Bob.
I got some comments to make about Bob, but I'll leave those for non-public record. And for the record, I'll say, Andrew, I talked to him 20 minutes ago. He was riding his bike to work. And did you ride it in the suit?
No.
Helmet hair? You just kind of roll in and go into your phone booth and put on your Superman cape.
He's practicing to beat me at the Golden Spoke right on
Saturday. Right. Now I'm happy to say that when we got this new office, built these new offices, we built a shower for, you know, and a good bathroom for people to do things like I did today. So it's all good for quality of life and health and everything. So, and I know Mayor Caldwell, as the mayor who rode his bike to work every day for a full year, you're the role model in this regard.
Yeah, ask me how many times I've ridden it since. I like having a heater and some warm grips, but that was a fun challenge for me. And it obviously got a lot of attention. I appreciate you saying that. It was a fun thing to do, but congrats to do that. And I'm just going to say it's amazing your quick turnaround. get off your bike and into a suit and into the office. So. Mm-hmm. As I've heard said before, I am I'm pleased but not surprised at your leadership. So I'll just leave it at that. Okay, up next we have action item recommended that WFRC Council approve the fiscal year 23 WFRC goals, budget, and unified planning work program. Andrew, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
I'd be happy to. This is the heart of the meeting here. What I'm going to do is I'll share my screen with all of you. This, what I'm putting on the screen, is the same thing that Andrea sent out to all of you a few days ago and then also dropped into the chat. But just give me a thumbs up that you can see this. Okay. So here we are. This is the action item. Well, we have two action items today. One, but they relate to each other. And this one is about our, as a budget committee, making the recommendation to the council at their meeting in 2 weeks to approve the goals, budget, and unified planning work program for FY23. Then we have some associated modest modifications, proposed modifications to the personnel policy, and then a little update about our fraud risk assessment for this past year. So just as a reminder on process, in March, we brought the draft budget, goals, budget, and work program to you. We reviewed it. We had good discussion about it. We then sent it to the council, discussed it with the council, and the council voted to authorize its release to the public. We released it to the public. We sent it to all of the COGs in the region. We got a handful of comments back that the comments didn't lead to any proposed modifications to the budget or work program. They did, however, lead to a few proposed modest modifications to the goals, which we'll get to in a moment. The process here is that we'll have this discussion, address any questions that you may have, make any modifications that may be needed coming out of our discussion here, and then we would send the materials to the council for the meeting on May 27th, 6th, 20, when is our next meeting?
20 something.
Thursday. Okay. And then that would be final action at that council meeting. Okay. So that's the process. All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go in the packet and take us to first to the goals. So bear with me for just a moment here as I work through the packet. The memo that I'm going through right now explains all of the information about what's in the budget and the goals. But here's the goals. I'm not going to go over all of these again because we did this already at our last meeting. I just want to highlight the two modest proposed modifications. One is in our first goal about advancing the Wasatch Choice vision and supporting local communities as they plan for growth. You'll see here, help communities too. And we have these items: integrate their local transportation, housing, land use, economic development, and here's what's new, and open space plans. We realized that one of the key strategies of the Wasatch Choice vision is promoting and preserving green space and open space. And that wasn't something that was actually reflected in the work that we're doing with our local communities. So we wanted to capture that open space in addition to economic development, land use, housing, and transportation, helping local communities with that. The second thing that we realized is we didn't have water referenced anywhere in our goals. Now, we don't do water plans specifically, but the impacts of the work that we do or help you do obviously has an impact on water utilization. And so what we propose to do is add in here where we say on our goal three, provide subject matter expertise. When we participate in regionally significant transportation and growth related projects and activities, to add in regionally significant water utilization planning. Again, this is more of a reality that this is, we do this already, but it makes sense to call it out because it's so important in the goals. So those are the two modest proposed modifications. Any reactions to those?
Yeah, Andrew, just really quick, as far as dealing with the water, which I agree with you on that, you know, do you feel that there is going to be any type of pushback, any type of all of a sudden, well, the Wasatch Front's now wanting to be involved with water and having more things, you know, basically put on our shoulders or anything like that? I mean, what would be your take on that?
Yeah, that's a good question, Commissioner. And the region, it's exactly that point, respecting that it's not our role to do local water planning. That's why we didn't actually put it up here in this section. We're actually, we have a role and a responsibility in these other areas. We're actually providing direct assistance to local communities in doing those things. We're not doing that directly on water. That's why we put water here, which is why we're where we are participating in projects and activities where appropriate from a regional perspective. Okay, so we're trying to strike that balance exactly on the point that you're getting at, the dynamic you're getting at.
Andrew, I know in Tooele County, we appreciate this addition because we are, unlike most of the Wasatch Front cities and counties, we are highly dependent upon, our only resource is well water. We have no piping into the valley, mm-hmm. which makes it very finite when it comes to transportation planning and how many homes we can have in the county until we develop different resources, whether it's coming from the south, whether east or as far north. And so that helps us a great deal. We appreciate that addition.
Mayor Caldwell, what I'd suggest here is, in the way we've got the agenda set up, is that we would go through the goals, budget, and work program, talk them through, and then there could be one action on all of them. So if it's okay with you, I'll keep moving on.
Keep moving on, but can I add one comment to the water issue?
Yeah.
I track that very heavily up here because we're in a really unique space. We have long-term water rights, but there are a lot of them up here. And I think it was 3 years ago, the Ogden River was running at about this time of year, about 1200 CFS. And in April, we had the Ogden River running at 8 CFS. Wow. Which means it's about as wide as my desk. So we, you know, having been the director of the Ogden Marathon and a bunch of other things for a long time, this time of year, typically all the runoff comes down and we have to change routes and do everything else because so much water is coming down. And to think that we had 8 CFS coming down the Ogden River when
traditionally or historically it's been in, at 1200 or better, it's a real deal. So
wow,
the more people that can ring the bell or pound the drum to say, look, we need to be very considerate about what we're doing with our water resources, I think is important. So I appreciate having this added as well. And I celebrate you guys getting involved in that. So thank you.
Great. Thank you. Moving on then from the goals, the next thing I want to talk about is the budget. We found that probably the best way to conceptualize the budget for WFRC is to look at this table, which is the expenditure by function, which shows the actual line items in our budget. Now, let me start at a high level and note that there are a handful of modifications from what we presented to you in March to now what we are presenting to you. Okay. That's what we want to focus on here. The most notable modification is that this line item right here, contractual, at $7.1 million is $2.5 million higher, or it includes a new $2.5 million that was not in the March budget, okay? That is because that now reflects anticipated funding that is coming to WFRC from the state through GOEO for us to do station area plans, to help local communities do station area plans per HB 462, okay? I'll talk about that a little bit more in a moment, but when you look and you see here under total expenditures, a growth of 39%, there's sticker shock on that number, 39%, what the heck, over estimated expenditures. The overwhelming bulk of that is reflected in that new $2.5 million. What we also had spent a lot of time, so I guess I should note this 39% in March, that was 11%. And now it's 39% over our estimated expenditures. When you look at the budget of FY22 to FY23, you'll see that it's a flatter percentage in the single digits of increase. Maybe I'll just keep talking about the contractual because I already started talking about it. Let me just say a little bit more then about that money from the state for station area plans. This is, by the way, there's a detail about this in the materials we sent to you, in the memo, in the footnotes and everything. So I'm just gonna give an overview reminder about this. And I wanna thank Mayor Silvestrini. He's been working with us closely on the work that we're anticipating doing. We'll talk more about this at Regional Growth Committee and at the Regional Council, but from a budget perspective, state is planning, to give us $5 million over the next 2 years. And when I say us, I mean WFRC and MAG, our counterparts in Utah County. The purpose of that money is to, as I said already, assist local communities to do station area plans around their transit stations as required by HB 462. That is not final. We do not have a contract yet for that money. So the way to look at this addition of that money in the budget is that it is effectively creates the authorization for us to utilize that money when the money does come. Now, I have a very high degree of confidence that money will come. This was something that we worked through. I personally worked this through with Dan Hemmert and Ben Hart at GOEO during the legislative session. This funding being provided was part of the overall understanding and framework of HB 462. And it was specifically called out, not appropriated at $5 million, but the allowance for GOEO to use this money from their industrial assistance account for this purpose, to give to metropolitan planning organizations to help local communities with stationary planning, specifically articulated in the legislation, and the city's ability to come to us and ask for assistance was specifically articulated in the legislation. So we're very confident about this. We're working closely with GOEO to have a system where they open their portal, we apply for the money. And the way briefly that we think this is going to work, $2.5 million is a placeholder for our budget for next year. There's $5 million total anticipated over 2 years. We are going to have flexibility over the two-year period, and also flexibility between WFRC and MAC as to the actual allocation of that money. And the reason for that is we want to see what the community needs are, how many applications come in asking for assistance. The anticipation, and why I said we put this all in the contractual line item, is that the overwhelming majority of that money from the state would be utilized for hiring consultants akin to our TLC, Transportation and Land Use Connection Program, hiring consultants to help the local communities. We at WFRC are also staffing up. This is part of what we talked about with you in March. We got additional money from the state, ongoing money to hire a staff person. We've got additional federal money. So we have out on the street now solicitations or job announcements for two positions in our community and economic development group, both fully funded to help do this work, in-kind work. And then this money from the state would principally be used for contractual. And we'll do selection, review and selection of applications for technical assistance in collaboration with WFRC, MAG, UTA, and GOEO. So that's what's in the budget right now. We have the ability, as always, to come back and modify the budget or amend the budget as we see ultimately how much of a need there is in our area in the next year. Is it more than $2.5 million? Is it less than $2.5 million? We can make adjustments as we go. But this is it's just a sort of round number placeholder, half of the $5 million for us to be able to hit the ground running when the money is available and help the communities as quickly as possible. So let me pause, and I don't know, Mayor Silvestrini, if you want to add anything to that, or if anybody has any questions or comments about that.
Thank you, Andrew. Questions or comments?
Yeah, hey, Andrew, I was just curious, as you're going through this, if you go back, you know, back when you first started, as far as how this has evolved and all the things and the dollars and the opportunities, I mean, it's got to, in a sense, kind of blow your mind a little bit with how things have evolved with all that's involved as far as this goes.
Yes, it does. And I guess here's my only comment I'll give on that. Our budget, at WFRC's budget, WFRC's role in the community has grown. I think that growth in our role and responsibility is commensurate. If anything, it's lagging the rate of growth in our community writ large and the challenges. With great growth comes great challenges and great opportunities. And so we're just, you know, working as hard as we can to address those challenges and help you all.
Okay. So a quick question I'd have for you is, if this trend continues, and again, I know you don't, you've got a lot of very, very good people who are helping you in a lot of different areas. At any point in time, do you feel like you need somebody to help you specifically? Does there need to be a deputy as far as it goes?
Well, keep in mind, Ted Knowlton is our deputy director. And years ago, when we hired Ted, I personally was very intentional about the skill set that I was looking for. You know, I'm a lawyer and a government affairs guy, right? More than I am a planner. Ted is one of the best planners in Utah. That's his background. That's his history. He's the, you know, former president of the Utah chapter of the American Planning Association. So he balances out that work. Andrea helps me a lot personally with a lot of things. And then we've got some just amazing team around us. So I really appreciate your raising that, Bob, but I feel really good about the staffing structure that we've got.
Okay.
Andrew, I may add on this, you know, this hammering out this bill of the legislature was interesting process, to say the least, but we had a lot of great partners in trying to navigate this. Fundamentally, this money that the legislature appropriated and the provisions in the bill are going to, I think, be positive to help communities better plan development around their transit stations to to maximize you know, that asset basically, and you know, improve the use of transit and the density around transit, so that we're not just pouring money down the drain with building this stuff, and that we'll get people to use it, which will have benefits in terms of advancing the Wasatch Choice vision and also you know, improving air quality, all those things. There is, however, with this, you know, like with you know, some responsibility that is going to somewhat change the role of WFRC. And this is some of the things that we spend a lot of time talking about, how to navigate this. The trade-off here was trying to preserve local control in the face of a lot of pressure to mandate things on local government. And kind of the compromise we struck here is that on these stationary plans, which the legislature gave us funding to be able to implement, we also are going to have the responsibility in conjunction with the state of kind of like reviewing these stationary plans and kind of making sure that they check the boxes that that are required to make sure that they are you know, are good plans and have been done comprehensively and that that they can be implemented. So that kind of puts this organization, at least it moves it closer to a role where we could be subject to being criticized if we were to, for example, refuse to, you know, to improve, approve a plan that that gets submitted by a municipality. And obviously, our goal and our approach to this is going to be working with them, nudging them if we see deficiencies, you know, pointing them out and hoping that they will address them. But when the rubber hits the road on this, there could conceivably be a situation where we get, where we just can't approve a plan that doesn't meet the requirements, and somebody may be upset at that. And it puts our organization in a political situation that we would probably prefer to avoid. However, this was the compromise of making sure that we had a clean process that would actually work, and also fundamentally keep the control with the you know, this agency, which is in fact, you know, fundamentally a collaborative agency comprised of local governments, you know, cities and counties, you know, so we're going to be working together, but there's going to be some challenges here. And you know, I'm glad we have the staff that we have to navigate those, because it's going to take some finesse.
And Mayor Silvestrini, you are anticipating or previewing some of the conversation that we're going to need to have at our Regional Growth Committee meeting next Thursday, and then at the council meeting the week after. So thank you very much. If there's no other questions about the contractual, I just want to note one thing, which is, you know, those of you that pay attention to the legislative process know that there's an important distinction between ongoing funding and one-time funding. This $2.5 million is sort of a different animal. It's closer to one-time funding, but it's going to be over 2 years, $5 million over 2 years, with the possibility of continuing it thereafter. But just to be clear, we are not building this into our budget with a presumption that it continues indefinitely. We are using this money from the state for contractual services, not for ongoing personnel expenditures or other expenditures. All right. So that's trying to be, I guess you could say, cautious or prudent, you know, about how we use this bump up in funding, given the likelihood that it will not continue out indefinitely into the future. Okay. The other major thing to note, to talk about a little bit more, is our employees, our personnel. Now, we had a really good discussion at the last budget committee meeting back in March about making sure that we are, you know, recruiting and retaining an excellent staff. Our staff is amazing. They're our most important asset, of course. One of our goals that is, you know, our goal number four in our goals that we walk through is striving for organizational excellence. And we, you know, explicitly call out making sure that we have a healthy, happy, and productive staff, as well as update our employee compensation and performance evaluation practices as needed to ensure market competitiveness. Now, at the last meeting, we had discussion, and you'll remember that what we agreed to was that we were going to build into the budget a cap amount. This is consistent with what we do every year, a cap amount that would enable us then within that cap to do a combination of COLA increases, merit increases, and targeted market-based adjustments, as well as cover any cost increases in benefits like health insurance, which, you know, obviously goes up some every year. We, in the budget, it incorporates a 12% amount, which does not mean that we use all that 12%. And it also does not mean that we give 12% increases. 12% is a dollar, associates to a dollar value that we have then the flexibility, you know, you as a budget committee and the council set that overall limit and the overall line item for the budget. And then we work within that to do a reasonable approach that treats our employees well and fairly, but then also is consistent with what's happening in the marketplace. So the line item, what you're looking at on the screen right now, this 5 million number is exactly the same as what we arrived at in March. That has not changed at all, okay? But what I do want to do is just give you a little bit of an update as to the information that we've accumulated. Marion has been accumulating information and where we're at. So I guess the action by the budget committee would be to recommend approval of the overall budget, not what happens within the line item, but I just wanted to update you about what we're thinking, okay? So we've done some investigation of what cities and counties around the region are intending to do on salaries, given this inflationary environment and the tight labor market conditions. And it's all over the board. I mean, if we polled all of you, I imagine that your answers would be all over the board. But in the aggregate, Marion, you'll correct me if I'm wrong here, it's coming out at around a 9% increase for employees through some combination of COLA, merit, et cetera.
Yeah, Andrew, do you want to explain that? So I think all of us in cities and counties are making our budgets right now.
Yeah.
We're doing COLAs. We're not doing a whole bunch of merit stuff. Do you want to explain just a little bit about how you're working through that with your employees?
Do you mean like what we've, I'm going to turn to Marion if what you're looking for is a little more background, but what we're intending to do, I'll say this and then Marion fill in here. What we're intending to do as of now is an 8% total, 5% for COLA, and then 3% available for merit adjustments, which is just a balance to strike a little bit below that rough 9% average in the region, but intending to address some of the inflationary impacts and provide some merit. And then the other thing I'll say is we're looking to do some targeted market adjustments also. But Marion, do you wanna supplement that?
No, that sounds about right. We did, we worked with the Utah League of Cities and Towns. They have done a really comprehensive survey across the state of COLA and merit. And as you pointed out, they're not consistent in terms of whether it is a strictly COLA or strictly merit or a combination of both. And so I think it's WFRC practice to include a merit as part of that percentage so that there's part of it that is consistent for everyone and then there's part of it that is not.
Andrew, what did we do last year?
Last year, Lovett might have to remind me. I think we were in the range of 4.5%, I think. Or if anybody can remind me, again, a combination of a COLA and merit, the COLA being tied more closely to where we're roughly at around CPI for last year. Lovett, do you remember?
We did a 2% COLA in April of 2021.
Okay.
And then when June 30th came, I believe by then I was kind of out of it, but I think you did about 4%.
Okay.
I think it was three. Maybe between three. The two of them, it was 4%.
Okay. Yeah, and I remember, you all may remember that we, during the pandemic, we froze all of our salaries, you know, during those early uncertain years. And so we had a year where we came to the beginning of the fiscal year where we did nothing. And then we did a little bit of a catch up later in the year and then sort of returned to more of a normalcy as the economy got more on track. So,
yeah, the reason why I asked that is that the county, we actually did a pretty good increase a year ago. And then this year we're looking, you know, a little more conservative with what we'll probably do this year. And that's what I was curious is that, you know, the people at the Wasatch Front haven't had that, I'd refer to as a good size boost yet. So I would have no problem with what you're doing. So,
okay. Let me add. So we're looking at doing a 5% COLA, 3%, up to 3% merit for meritorious employees. Then the other piece, we talked to you about how we did, so I just described doing a, salary survey just in the last few months with cities and counties in the region. However, over the past year or so, we've been doing a market analysis, a market and compensation analysis. We talked to you about this, you know, before we even got going, we shared all this information with you. And in summary, the results of that analysis, which looked not just at Utah, but at peer organizations around the country, the result of that analysis is that for the majority of our positions, our salary ranges are pretty consistent with the industry midpoint, okay? With a handful of notable exceptions. In other words, some of our positions are actually well below the industry midpoint, which is a risk for us as an organization and also for the employees that are in those positions. So what I'm intending to do, again, within the limits set by the council and the budget, is to do a handful of targeted market-based adjustments to bring the range for those positions up to better match the industry norms. So again, COLA, merit, some targeted market-based adjustments, and then generally speaking, you know, all of our other, like there's, you know, we hire people or we do promotions or we do benefit cost adjustments or health insurance. All of that is woven into the overall numbers that are, I guess I'm still sharing my screen, that are still in front of you on the screen here, this $5 million number, which has not changed again since March. So how does that sound? Does that make sense?
That makes sense to me. Anybody have any questions or other things they'd like to bring up?
Okay.
If not, we have two action items. First was to recommend that WFRC Council approve the fiscal year 23 WFRC goals, budget, and unified planning and work program, and recommend that WFRC Council adopt amendments to the WFRC personnel policy.
Yeah, and Mayor Caldwell, if I might, before you jump to action on that, let me note one more thing about the budget and work program. The work program, so the goals are the highlights, the overview. The work program is the much more detailed set of all of the things that we anticipate working on. That was slightly modified as well since March, mainly to reflect the additional work on station area plans. So I just wanted to get on the record that we did make some modest modifications to the work program. So Mayor, if you wanted to do a motion as you were pointing in that direction for this item on the budget goals and work program to recommend to the council for approval, that would work. Now we do have we want to talk to you a little bit more about the modifications to the personnel policy before taking action on that, if that's okay.
Okay, so with that, is there an action to recommend that WFRC Council approve the fiscal year 2023 goals, WFRC goals, budget, and unified planning work program?
So moved.
Thanks, Bob.
I'll second it.
Okay. Thank you very much. So I have a first and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, that passes. So we'll move to number five.
Thank you. And Mayor, let me just say that I have said all along to all of the folks on the WFRC staff that they should feel free to speak up at any point if there's anything. I realize I didn't affirmatively turn to all of them to say, do you want to add something before we take action on this? But that's the understanding stands if there's ever anything to bring up. So is there something in your mind that you're like, shoot, the budget committee should know X, Y, or Z about the budget that they just voted on? I'm a little late on this, but I want to give you that opportunity if there is anything. No? Okay, I'm seeing heads shaking. Okay, thanks, team. Okay, now the personnel policy. We are proposing a few modest modifications to the personnel policy, which I am going to go to right now, which are in two, there are some clarifications to the policy. And then there's also just a few modest modifications that are consistent with what we already talked about making sure that we have our employees, that we're treating our employees well to recruit and retain an excellent workforce, okay? So we sent a memo about this, about these proposed modifications. Let me highlight again, these modifications that we're proposing to make to the personnel policy do not impact the budget, okay? They work within the budget. Here's what they are. We're gonna hit these quick. So this is the existing policy, and what you can see on the screen is the comparison of what we were proposing to revise. The first thing, this is on the compensation. It noted that each fiscal year the council approves. We want to clarify, make clear the role of the budget committee, that the budget committee has to be consulted and that we work with and through the budget committee and the council. So that's why we're highlighting the budget committee here. And then also making clear that market-based adjustments are actually something that is arguably distinct from other types of adjustments. I regard this as more of a clarification because over time we have done market-based adjustments, but it makes sense to have more clarity to make sure that that is understood as perhaps a distinct type of adjustment from a performance-based modification. And then on the actual salary determinations, we want to clarify again that you all set an overall compensation budget. That was that line item that I was talking about in the actual budget itself, that you set that limit by the council and the budget committee. And then we work within that to set the salary schedule and pay ranges for the positions in the way that we have been doing, but we just want to clarify that is the limit that exists for the work that we do. And then just some terminology changing to pay ranges instead of pay grades. There's a few other modest modifications here on supervisor consultation. There are a few other things in here, but before moving on to those other items, let me pause here and see if anybody has any comments or questions about these proposed modifications. Hearing none, I'm going to keep going. We also are adding in Juneteenth as a holiday. Now it's a federal and state holiday, so it's therefore also a WFRC holiday. I personally think that's great. So we'll add that in. And then the other modifications, and Marion, as we discussed, I'm going to turn to you to talk about proposed modifications in related to vacation leave and sick leave. Marion, what do you want to see on the screen as we're talking about this?
I think, let's start with this paragraph, which really reflects, again, the nature of our staff here who come to us as professionals, sometimes with a lot of professional experience and having perhaps accrued vacation and not having been able to use vacation. And so we wanted to make a more flexible policy so that somebody could borrow in their first year against some vacation accrual with permission. And then again, it doesn't affect the budget. It just gives a little more professional flexibility for people who are coming onto our staff. And then the next one, if you could go
down.
Let
me just, hey, Marian, let me just briefly note, like, this has been a problem. We hire somebody, you know, they may have lots of experience and they have zero vacation when they start. And so they're like, gosh, we have a trip planned. Is that okay? And it's like, it becomes tricky. And so we just want to make it flexible to say, sure, you can borrow against your first year if you want to take a trip early. And then if they were to leave before they actually accrue that vacation, then the value of that vacation would, per the policy, would be taken out of their final paycheck. So it's just a little more flexibility.
So yeah. Andrew, and also, oh, go ahead.
Just real quick, one of the things that we've started doing here at the county is that we know that a lot of the positions that we are hiring in for are people who are experienced and are coming from another organization that are going to add to our organization. And we respect the fact on that. We've, as part of the negotiating for them to come to work for us, we have been basically upfronting 40 hours of vacation, and it's not going against anything. It's just part of the package to say, okay, you know what? We realize that, you know, you've come from North Salt Lake City in a sense, and that, you know, you built up some vacation time. We're willing to, you know, give you 40 hours up front. So they come in with hours instead of, so that's just a suggestion.
You do that, Commissioner, do you do that for all of your, all incoming employees?
It's all, no, it's only for those who, when we're negotiating, especially those who are leaving a position that they are losing their hours.
Yeah.
If we're talking about, you know, first-time employees, you know, kids out of college, that, no. But if we're hiring a deputy director or, you know, someone like that, we're offering that 40 hours. And it's not a policy. It's not written that way. It has to be approved by the commission when they come in.
Interesting. Yeah, I think we'll need to suss this out over time. You know, it's tricky. We've been a little hesitant to have a situation where one employee negotiates more vacation than another employee and the sort of equities associated with that. Yeah. But this is a modest modification that gets in this direction, but doesn't go as far, Commissioner, as you're talking about. But let's keep thinking about this over time.
Yeah, that's a good point. Similarly, on the sick leave policy is something that had come to particularly Ned's attention in terms of granting some more flexibility to staff members at the end of the fiscal year. So vacation just accrues and carries over to the next year, where sick leave, which we call healthcare leave as well, because we do have several ways that one can use this leave that isn't just being sick, it's to stay well, basically. A portion of this was, there was some math that had to be done at the end of the year where 75% could be rolled over, 25% could be cashed out. And we've basically simplified this, allowed for some more flexibility. 40 hours now is the max, is the minimum that must be carried over to the next fiscal year. And then above that, we have some choices, including contributing that money to the deferred savings plan, which of course is a nice benefit for employees to be able to do that pre-tax. And so offering that flexibility does not affect the bottom line, of course. It simply allows employees to have some more choices at the end of the fiscal year.
Any questions or comments about that specific change, proposed change? I'll just say again, these are, both of these on the vacation and the sick are designed to be, you know, relatively modest, but helpful policy adjustments for the benefit of our employees who we're trying to look out for. So that's it, isn't it, in the policy,
Marian? That's it, yep.
Yeah, so, Mayor Caldwell, that would take us, unless there's any other questions, to an action to recommend the council adopt those amendments to the policy.
I'll just say, I think those are great recommendations, and we're working through all of that as is Davis County Commission and probably every other city along the Wasatch Front. So I appreciate you being proactive with that. And with that, I would personally recommend that WFRC Council adopt amendments to the WFRC personnel policy. Would there be a second?
That's a motion. I'll second it.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate that. We have a first and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, that will take us to number six, fraud risk assessment for fiscal year 2022.
Just good news here. I'm going to turn to Marion to summarize this briefly.
Excellent. This is a document that I became well aware of in my work at charter schools. So it's something that I've worked through ever since its inception a couple of years ago. And so this is a nice memo that goes with it. It's very thorough. Thank you, Lovett, for creating this. And the only updates have to do with the fact that I have a CGFM certification. And so that brought us up 10 points, which is nice. And then also with the addition of Kevin Wells to our staff, our internal auditing, not only do we have this agreement with BDO, I think some time ago you contracted with them to look at internal auditing processes, and we're certainly continuing down that road, but also with the addition of Kevin, we both have a lot of experience with internal auditing, and then just the very fact of having two people in the finance role really does add to that separation of duties and creates an internal process that is what the state auditors are really looking for in this section. Mm-hmm. So I think on all counts, we are in very good shape, and I'm happy to answer any questions about it. But I think that this is something the state auditors implemented to have some boxes to check so that people were actually assessing their own fraud risk.
And literally, here's the boxes to check.
So. Exactly, boxes to check. And then there's some instruction that goes with it. And I think it's a helpful document, but really just reinforces that we have good policies and good practices that we're already doing at WFRC.
I told Marion that it was nice that just by hiring her with the qualifications she have, we slipped from the low risk to the very low risk category. So there you go. Good job. Good job, Marion.
Thank you.
Yeah. We're open to any comments or questions about this annual required self-assessment.
I would just say congratulations. I know Bob and I have served on a couple of boards that had some issues in the last number of years. And Andrew, I had a candid conversation with you before I took the chair position. So going from that to very low risk, congratulations, that's great management. And we appreciate the work that you're all doing. I've said this a dozen times, but I think when we're dealing with taxpayers' money and everything else, complete transparency is absolutely key. And I applaud the efforts you've all put into making sure that this is as good as it can get.
I remember that conversation, Mayor Caldwell. We had lunch in Ogden, and you said, you know, you've got to assure me that things are on the up and up and we have transparency and integrity. And I swore to you then, and I will continue to, that is a top priority for our organization. It always will be. So,
and I'm sure this is a public meeting, so I probably shouldn't say it, but there was a threat of an ass kicking if something came down the line that didn't line up, and you've hit on all cylinders. So congrats to you and your team.
All I want to know is, on that lunch, did Caldwell buy and did he have a happenings book for a 2-for-1?
I bought, but no, I don't have a happenings book. That's my parents. My parents would have ripped that coupon.
A happenings book. unless there's any other questions about the fraud risk assessment, Mr. Chair, that just takes us to executive director's report. And all I've got for you is to again remind you that we've got Regional Growth Committee meeting next Thursday morning, and then we've got our full council meeting in person for those of you who are interested and able to attend next 2 weeks from today at 2 p.m. At that meeting, Mayor Caldwell, I propose that we go over this material in a more succinct fashion at that meeting than we've done here at the Budget Committee. And my last thing is just to thank you all again for your participation and attention to these matters. We really appreciate it.
So, hey, Andrew, and again, maybe something was said before I came on, but again, I think from all of us, with the passing of your mother, our heart goes out to you and your family. You know, probably most of us have experienced the loss of a loved one. It's a very, very difficult thing, no matter what the situation is. So, hey, you know what? You got to love our friendship, and anything we do for you, let us know.
Bob, thank you. I really appreciate that and your friendship. And I hope you don't mind my saying this, but Bob's mom is
winding down
also. And so we're thinking about you too, Bob, very much. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Bob, I appreciate that. We all feel the same. And Andrew, I hope you feel our support and appreciation for the work that you do and everything else. And
very much so.
I look forward to seeing you all in 2 weeks. It's been a long time and it's been a crazy couple of years. So I appreciate all your time and attention and everything else and your commitment to the organization. And did I hear a motion from Jeff?
Yeah, you did. I was maybe a little early, but you know, that motion can never be made too early.
Stole my thunder. I totally agree. So you have a motion to adjourn. Is there a second? There's Bob. Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you all for your time and attention. I really appreciate you all. And we'll see you either next Thursday or in 2 weeks. And I look forward to that.
Thanks.
Thanks, everybody.